Morning. I wanted to bring something along for an object lesson. I see now I didn't need to. I had a few things in mind this morning. I was talking to my wife, and she's not here this morning. But I was telling her, you know, I'd like to take this and use it as an object lesson. And it ended up not happening. So thank you, Marcus, for sharing the lesson that you shared here. I want to share a verse with you this morning, and this verse does not tie in with our message this morning, but it's a verse that I've had in front of me for a while, and we've talked about as a leadership team a couple of times, but I just want to share this verse with you, and I might throw this back out here from time to time, but James 4:8, part of that verse says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." And I found that so true in my walk with Christ. When I draw nigh to Him, He's never unfaithful. He always draws nigh to us. And that's just something beautiful that I found in my life. This morning I'd like for us to go to 1 John chapter 3. We've been going through 1 John. We're going to be looking at the first 10 verses. As I was looking at this scripture, I'm going to be really honest with you this morning, which you probably want me to be anyhow. But I'm going to be really honest with you this morning. As I read through 1 John 3, 1 through 10, something just did not click. I've been reading these 10 verses for the last, I'm going to say, probably 5 or 6 weeks, over and over. And I could not come to the bottom of it. There's something I'm just not getting. Last week, one morning, as I was having my time with the Lord, I normally spend time on my knees and I talk to Him, you know, and I give Him all my this and that and whatever I need, my wants and my praises and everything. And then if I give Him any time at all to speak to me, it's at the end. And the other morning I told the Lord as I got on my knees, as I met Him, I said, you know, this morning I'd like to just kind of listen. Maybe you have something for me. I'll talk to you a little bit later. Just speak to me. And I felt the Lord telling me, get your Bible. There's something I want to share with you. So I got my Bible. By then I was in my recliner. I sat down. And I asked the Lord, what do you want me to see in the scriptures? So we ended up again at 1 John chapter 3. I have a little book that somebody gave me that's called, Chad, what is it? The Gospel. Somebody gave that book to me quite a few years back. And then again in October, somebody gave me another one. And I felt the Lord telling me, go back to that book. There was something in there that I showed you I'd like for you to see. So I went back to that book. And again, He directed my thoughts in that book. So I prepared a message about the plan of salvation. I had laid everything out way back from the beginning in Genesis, all the way up to Chapter 3 here, 1 John. And God told me there's something missing. You're missing something. And we don't always hear God speak to us in a very clear sense. But it was really clear to me. You're missing something. And as I continued to seek God, He showed me that I've got everything laid out. What makes sense to me. But you're missing repentance. And I got to thinking about this whole thing. And about our churches as a whole today. There are many, many churches today. And I'm not pointing at other churches. I'm pointing here sometimes too. Where we teach walking holy. But we don't teach repentance. There's something about repentance I want to share with you this morning. I don't have a whole bunch of points this morning. We're going to keep coming back to the same thing all morning. Maybe repetition will help us. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John 3 if you're not there already. We're going to read the first 10 verses. And as we read these, I don't know what your thoughts will be, but see if you can follow along and see if God shows you something as we go through these verses. Verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever therefore abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So I want to give credit this morning to GotQuestions.org. I don't know how many of you use that in your studies, but there's some really, really good things. If you want to do some good studying, that's a good place to go. So this morning I'm using a lot of their thoughts. I'm adding some of my own as we go through this message this morning. I've titled my message this morning, "Evidence of a Changed Life." Evidence of a changed life. So when somebody looks at me as I'm doing my daily thing, as I'm working where I work, as I go wherever I go, can they see that there is evidence of a changed life? I want to share a little bit out of verse 2 before we go on, something that just really blessed me. And then we'll go on talking about repentance. But in verse 2, he says, verse 1, I'm sorry, that we should be called the sons of God. As I was looking at being called the sons of God, I had to think, who calls us sons of God? Is that the Father? Who really calls us the sons of God? And Danny, let's see if we can get that to the next screen. I'm not happening here. While he's getting that together, 2 Corinthians 6:18. There we go. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, "And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." Saith the Lord Almighty. So the Father calls us his son, his children. That's precious to me, to know that my God calls me his child. Let's see if this thing's working. Go to the next one, Danny. Okay, while he's getting it, we'll keep going. Hebrews 2:11 says this, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one," are all of one, "for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." That was the Son calling us brethren. Again, we're included in his family. Then there's one more. The Spirit. And that's in Romans 8:16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And that's just kind of a side note. As I read through that, it just gave me a new confidence in the idea that I am so loved by God that he actually calls me his family. If you want to do a very, very interesting study and dig into what it is to be a child of God, what it is to be adopted into the family, what it is to be an heir. We may live this life without much, but if we are His child, we are one of the wealthiest persons there is. We have something that will go throughout all of eternity. It will not end on this side. Okay, back to talking about repentance. So what is repentance? If somebody would ask me what repentance is, I would probably tell them, well, it's turning from sin, and that's partially true. It is. It's turning from sin. It's going a different direction. Yep, that's true too. Let's go to the next slide, Danny. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. Acts 26:20 says, "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." The NLT says that last phrase, "prove that they have changed by the good things they do." Now, I'm not here this morning preaching about a good works message. That's not where I'm at. Yes, we do need good works. But there's something in repentance. Thank you, Danny, for putting that up in the back where I can see it. There's something about repentance that I have been missing. Repentance, true repentance, will come out in my lifestyle, will come out in how I live. Jesus gave us two commands. Can somebody tell me what those two commands are that He gave us in the New Testament? Okay, love the Lord your God. There's more to it then. What's the next one? Your neighbor as yourself. So He's saying love God and love people. Two that I sometimes forget. But if we think about those two commands that He has given us, everything else falls under those two. Even the Ten Commandments, with the exception of one. Talking about the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That actually would be honoring God as we keep the first day of the week. But if we look at loving God and loving people, it gives us the whole plan of life on this side of the cross. Let's get back to repentance. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read some verses out of Acts. Acts chapter 2, and I don't have that up here on the overhead. So if you want to follow along, that's where we're going to be at. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 14. This was right after the day of, or right on the day of Pentecost when they had received the Spirit. And there was some question as to what's going on. Maybe the men are drunk that were speaking in tongues, hear different languages. Then Peter stood up, verse 14. Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing as but the third hour of the day." And then he says, this is a prophecy fulfilled. Joel had talked about this. They were, verse 17, "It shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And there's a little bit more that goes with the prophecy there. Then we're going to drop over to verse 37 of the same chapter. As they listened to what he was saying, they asked him, "What should we do?" It says they were pricked in their hearts. Or we would probably say today they were under conviction. The Father was drawing them. So now they're asking, "What shall we do?" In verse 37. Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off." That includes us. "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Now we're going to talk about baptism a little bit here. We're not disagreeing with Russ. I think the thief on the cross, if he would have had opportunity down the road, he would have probably been baptized. But not there. God took him. Jesus took him with him. So we're not going to dig into baptism. It's just in the verse here, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now watch what happened. They heard, he said, repent. They heard, they gladly received, it says. So I think that's repentance. Then there's something that happened right after that. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, I'm not seeing Peter here saying, you know, this is what you need to do. But this was a result of something that happened within them. They wanted fellowship. They wanted to be together. There was love there. We'll see that here in a little bit. And fear came upon every soul, verse 43. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. We'll come to verse 47 here in a bit. But there was such a joy. There was so much excitement about being with the Father, I guess you would say. They found they had freedom like Sam was talking about. Here was freedom. And they just wanted to be together and to love each other in the midst of all this. Then in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Praising God is loving God. Remember what we talked about a little bit ago? The two commands? Here's one. They were praising God. They were loving God. And having favor with all the people. They were loving the people. They were fulfilling what he was teaching. Now look what happened after this. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So here's the question I guess I had to ask myself. Am I so excited about serving God that I want to be with my brothers and sisters? Am I excited about coming here and fellowshipping with you from Sunday to Sunday? Is that an excitement, or is it something I do and it's just kind of a boring thing? I do it because I'm expected to be here. Or is it actually something I really enjoy doing? I have to ask myself another question. Since I am born again, since I'm walking with Christ, do I spend time praising God? What is my worship like? Or is that kind of foreign to me? You know, if we don't have worship in private, we're not going to have it here. When we get together, we're building each other up. We're here loving on each other. We're loving God and we're loving people. But if it doesn't happen during the week, it's not going to happen here. That's a challenge for me. Let's go to the next slide. Repentance involves, I better read here, that's a little small back there. Repentance involves recognizing that you have thought wrongly in the past and determining to think rightly in the future. 2 Corinthians 7:10 in the NLT says, for the kind of sorrow, let me read that again, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There is no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. You Maybe I have second thoughts as I come to a place of repentance. The second thoughts I'm talking about is the idea that repentance is more than just saying something. It is actually living out what the scriptures teach. My thinking is different. My mind goes to a verse in Romans 12 where he talks about our thoughts, our minds being transformed. And that's more than just an outward experience. It is our minds being changed. There's something different. Our minds and our hearts are connected. They are changed. I want to share a verse with you that I did not plan to share this morning, but I thought about it here earlier and I wrote it down. Ezekiel 36:26. He was talking here to the children of Israel, but I believe there's a spiritual thing here for each one of us. He says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove from your heart, from you, your heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh." That gives me a picture that I was a person with a pretty hard heart. And as the Father continued to draw me, when I finally said yes, He said, "I'm going to take that ugly, hard heart out of you. I'm going to toss that one aside and I'm going to replace it with a brand new heart. A heart that is soft, that is pliable, that He can use for His honor and His glory. I will put a new heart within you." Let's go to the next slide, Danny. Repentance is not a work we do to earn salvation. John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So I'm not repenting for the idea of earning something with God, because I cannot earn my salvation by works. He gives me salvation. So I come to Him in repentance and He changes me. Let's go to the next slide. God desires all of us, for all of us to repent. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness." Did I read that right? Let's start over. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." What am I trying to earn by repenting? I want to share with you a little bit where I come from. This is not downplaying the church where I grew up in. I love those people dearly. And I think they've made a lot of changes. But I grew up in a church where if you wanted your driver's license, then you gave your heart to the Lord before you were 16. If you didn't give your heart to the Lord before you were 16, you didn't get your driver's license. You know where that goes. I believe there's many today that are not living victorious lives because they have never come to the place where they have repented and where their fruits are starting to show that there is repentance. They've said the sinner's prayer, just so it's said, to see if we can get in. If you remember the Pilgrim's Progress, and I was going to read some of that this morning and I forgot it at home. But if you remember the Pilgrim's Progress, Christian was walking along and there were two men. See if I can remember their names. One was hypocrisy or hypocrite. I can't remember the other guy's name. When Christian came on this path, he had to go through a gate. And as he went through this gate, he was given a paper. This paper was to be given at the end of his journey as his entrance into the kingdom. These two men that joined him hopped in over a wall. So Christian asked him about that. You hopped over a wall. You expect to end up where I end up at. Well, yeah. He said, we're on the same path you're on. Do you have your paper with you? See, there's many today, I believe, that are living a false Christian life, if I can say that correctly. They have never truly repented. And it's their works that are showing that they have never truly repented. And I'm not pointing at anybody else, because that's exactly where I was. I made a profession. No, I didn't give my heart to the Lord before I was 16 because I didn't want that. But even down the road, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I did it when I wanted to. There was a place I came to in my life where the Father drew me. And it was after we were married. Where the Father drew me and I knew this is the time. And I gave my heart to the Lord. Maybe in a deeper way, I'm not sure. I was on the journey, you should say, maybe. But I never was committed to truly walking with Him. And because I wasn't committed, there were no fruits. I was living in sin. Am I ashamed of that today? Yeah. But I'm so thankful that God is faithful. He continues to draw us. And He called me to be His child. And when He called me and I sensed that, I said, yes. Now because of that, I'm free. What Sam was saying, I'm free. Turn in your Bibles to Luke 19. Let's look at an example here. Luke chapter 19. This is an old story. All of us know the story, I'm sure here. Our children are probably, this is probably a story that we've told them young in their lives because it's an exciting story. It's about a little man who climbs up into a tree. Verse 1, as Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans. That means his business practices weren't very ethical. They were not honest. He was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Here we have a little fella. He's not very tall. He hears Jesus is coming. He can't see Jesus because of the crowd. He's too short. He can't see over the top. So he runs and he climbs up into a tree. And as I read this, God really spoke to me. And he said, how many trees are you missing? How many trees are out there with people in it that want to know Jesus? And you're not taking time to stop and talk to them. I know this is kind of off of the subject this morning. How many trees am I missing where there are people that are desiring to know God and I'm too busy? I don't have time to stop and talk to my neighbor because there's something that needs done. Let's keep going with the story, verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. The Father calling us. Zacchaeus, he knew his name. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I want to be with you. He's saying, come. I want to be with you. Zacchaeus didn't hesitate in verse 6. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Let me guarantee you, friends, if you choose to walk with Christ, there's somebody that's going to say it's not good. It happens. It happened in my life as I was young. There were those looking in. What's wrong with Lynn? He's no longer doing what he did. They don't understand. Here's what happened to Zacchaeus. It says, he stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. Here he's loving God. Look what's happening. He's loving God. Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. Now he's loving people. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. I don't care if it was false or not. I'm going to love people. I'm going to give back. What was Jesus' comment? We don't see Zacchaeus here on his knees repenting. We don't know what all happened there. But we don't see him on his knees wallowing in sorrow, which Matthew does talk about. There is sorrow when we see our need, when we see our sins. We don't know what all happened here, but Jesus saw what was happening with Zacchaeus. And Jesus' comment was, today there is salvation in this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm going to say a few things here that might hurt just a little bit. But it hurt me. And God has to do a work in my heart. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want prepackaged Christianity. I want people who come through this door to come in packaged as a believer. I really don't want somebody to come walking in these doors back here with a bunch of tattoos, rough looking. That was my heart. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Friends, I believe this morning we need to be open to whoever walks through those doors back there. God looks at their heart. They're in the tree if they don't know Jesus. We have the light. We have what it takes to walk with Christ. But because of my pride, sometimes I don't want somebody walking in that door that isn't prepackaged. You know what Jesus wants to do? What if he'd have done that with me when I came to him? I showed up and he saw the trash in my life. And is it not a deal? You're out. You're not walking with me. You came part way, but you weren't willing to go all the way. We have a community around us that needs Jesus. And unless we're willing to look at the community around us and to realize that this is where we're going to find it. It's in here. In our relationship with Christ. Then I would wonder if we have that freedom Sam was talking about this morning. Because when we experience that freedom, we want others to have it. We want others to have it. God looks at the heart. We look on the outside. Let's continue. What's our next slide, Danny? Repentance, properly defined, is necessary for salvation. Biblical repentance is changing your mind about your sin. No longer is sin something to toy with. It is something to be forsaken as you flee from the coming wrath. Excuse me. It is also changing your mind about Jesus Christ. No longer is he to be mocked or discounted or ignored. He's the Savior to be clung to. He is the Lord to be worshipped and adored. Repentance is not just for me. It is for all. And unless I share that with those that I meet, we're watching people walking down a slippery slope into hell. And brothers and sisters, hell is real. We don't preach that a whole lot. Hell is real. It is for all of eternity. And so is heaven. And so is heaven. A person, the last slide that I have there, a person who has truly repented of sin and exercised faith in Christ will give evidence of a changed life. I'm not pointing at anybody this morning but myself, but I do want to ask a question. Look back over your lives. Is there evidence that you have been with Jesus? Is there evidence, if I come and I ask your friends that you work alongside at work, that you've been with Jesus? Because it's going to show. That's my encouragement for today. Maybe we'll just use that verse that we started out with. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Would you stand with me as we close? God, thank you again this morning for the opportunity that you have given us to be free. You know each one of our hearts here this morning. You know whether we're free. Father, we know it too. We're not playing any games. We know where we're at with you. We're so thankful, Lord, that you still draw us to yourself. There's a day coming when it's over. And I pray, Lord, this morning that we would all allow you to work in our hearts. Thank you for that soft heart that you give us. We pray, Lord, that you would use our hearts to glorify you, to honor you, and to bless the people around us. You have blessed us here as a congregation. Even in the midst of struggles, Lord, you're still here. You haven't left. And I pray that you would help each one of us, Lord, to realize that you want a close relationship with us. Thank you again for the price that you paid, that we can be washed in the blood, our sins can be nailed to the cross, and we can walk in freedom. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.